So as I said, fire coverage is going to be all the second hour of this morning's program. We're going to start with a different kind of fire in Washington, D.C. Our friend and colleague Mitch Jezerich has flown out to Washington to cover the impeachment proceedings from the halls of Congress, where he's currently standing by, just outside the House's Secure Compartmented Information Facility, which is where House Intelligence has been holding hearings. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, gang, and so sorry to hear about the conditions back home once again.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. What's happening where you're at, though? It sounds like things are pretty intense this morning.
You know, a bit of a surprise and a twist occurring this morning. So today, these hearings, and it's actually three committees that are participating in these depositions and have been participating in them. As Brian indicated, the House Intelligence Committee, but so is the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and so is the House Government Oversight Committee. So there's about 100 members altogether that have the capacity to participate in these closed depositions. And this morning, these committees, led by Adam Schiff, who is the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, had subpoenaed him late last week, Charles Kupperman, to come testify today. Charles Kupperman is with the National Security Council, still is with the National Security Council, and he was a top aide to John Bolton when John Bolton was the National Security Advisor. And we know just before this whole situation over Ukraine made its way into the public sphere, John Bolton had resigned as the National Security Advisor. And so there was a lot of attention put on Charles Kupperman coming in today. But then on Friday, Donald Trump prohibited Charles Kupperman from coming to testify here at these committee hearings. And so Charles Kupperman went to a judge late Friday asking what he should do. This is where we get into the sticky mess of what happens between separation of powers when one branch of government, a co-equal branch of government, is telling you to do something that's at odds with the other co-equal branch of government, this being the executive and this being the judiciary. And so, I mean, not judiciary, the legislative. And so Charles Kupperman went to a judge on Friday to ask what he should do, who he should obey. And we just haven't received the judge's decision yet as to what he should do. So, and this has big ramifications because the same lawyer who is representing Charles Kupperman is also representing John Bolton. And these committees very much want to hear from John Bolton too. Since John Bolton has left the position of National Security Advisor, he has said that he has been very critical of Donald Trump's foreign policy in general, but he's also been critical of Democrats since he has left as well. So it's unclear how he sees this whole process going on. I think he's even said something to the effect of Democrats are rabid right now on Capitol Hill. So it doesn't mean he's necessarily enthusiastic about the impeachment. He's certainly not enthusiastic about Donald Trump's foreign policy positions ranging from Syria to Ukraine to North Korea. So Charles Kupperman has not shown up this morning for his deposition. Apparently, he is being threatened by these committees for censure. If he does not come. So we'll have to see what happens there. But there was another surprising twist this morning. Out of nowhere and unexpectedly, the ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, has just returned this committee. Now, Gordon Sondland has testified to this committee before. Who is Gordon Sondland? Gordon Sondland is one of those three individuals where we got those text messages a few weeks ago. He was the main person who was pushing William Taylor and others to let Ukraine know that if they wanted a White House meeting, if they wanted Ukrainian President Zelensky to have a public meeting with Donald Trump, and if they wanted that $391 million and military aid, then Ukraine, Zelensky himself, was going to have to publicly declare that there was going to be an investigation both into the Bidens as well as into if Ukraine was at all involved in the theft of the DNC emails in 2016. Now, when Gordon Sondland had testified here a few weeks ago, apparently he suggested it was not a quid pro quo, that it was taken out of context. However, we've just learned over this weekend from his attorney who spoke to the Wall Street Journal that Gordon Sondland is expected in his hearing, in which he's attending right now, is expected to say it very much was a quid pro quo. So that could be a pretty significant development.
What do you think caused the change of heart?
Probably all the other people who have been testifying so far saying that it was a quid pro quo. It is illegal to testify at a deposition like this. It is illegal to lie at a deposition like this. In fact, lie to Congress in a hearing, period. And so I'm guessing, I don't know, I don't have access to Gordon Sondland, but I suspect after all the other State Department officials who have testified so far, Gordon Sondland might have been a little worried about what could happen to him according to what he had already testified. So my understanding, and we were waiting for Adam Schiff to come out to talk to reporters. He hadn't come out by the time I joined you all. But just before I joined you all, Jim Jordan, one of the high-ranking Republicans in this process, came out and said that Sondland was in there to clarify some of his statements. That might mean to maybe change his statements a little bit before he gets into legal trouble for potentially lying. That's my sense. Of course, I'm not in the room, and I haven't talked to his lawyer myself, so I don't know for sure.
So one of the specific areas of speculation has been a text message he sent in that exchange explicitly denying that there was a quid pro quo. Whether he's going to testify that that text message was sent at the urging or by the dictation of Donald Trump. And any update on that?
I mean, that's what we have to wait to see. He just arrived this morning. He just arrived maybe a half hour ago. And from lawmakers leaving the room, oftentimes they don't say anything, but if they do say anything, it's very little at all. But no one has said anything according to what he has said so far in today's hearing.
But last week, there were at least 2 days of Republican, I'm using air quotes, protests in regards to the hearing. Any sign of them this Monday? And what was their reaction to the judicial decision last week that this process is legal?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question, Kat. And let's unpack that a little bit. So no, this morning, there was no sign. Republicans did not come down en masse through the spiral staircase that's going down into the room, and they did not address really reporters other than Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows talking to us for about 5 minutes. After they were coming out of the room, they're a part of the process. So there is no sign whatsoever of any kind of protest occurring today. What happens later in the week, we will have to see. However, to your second question, and this is an important one, a federal judge on Friday declared and ruled that the House process so far in the impeachment inquiry is quite legal. But the decision was not about necessarily what's happening with these depositions that are occurring, which are also quite legal. The Constitution is very broad. And it's defining how the House can proceed with an impeachment inquiry or an impeachment process. The House could basically do this any way it chooses. Likewise, the Senate, when it comes, and if it comes, and it likely will come to a trial, the Senate also has the same ability to shape the trial there any way that it likes to. But what this decision was particularly pertaining to was the House Judiciary Committee, which is not one of the three committees that are participating in the depositions. And what the House Judiciary Committee said is that the House Judiciary Committee had subpoenaed the Justice Department for the redacted aspects and also for the testimony that came during the Robert Mueller investigation, and that what the information and the documents that the House of Representatives have subpoenaed the Justice Department for, again, the redacted portions of the report, the testimonies that occurred as well, that the House should have access to all that material. So that's what that decision was about. But in the process, the administration was saying this is an illegal process because the House did not vote to begin this proceeding to begin with. You don't know if it's really the will of the body or not. It's an interesting point. The judge even expressed some sympathy with that point, but said the Constitution was clear. The House of Representatives could proceed with an impeachment inquiry in any way that it desires.
Mitch, we've been taking some deep dives into what the process of all of this is, trying to understand it. And a lot of folks are asking, okay, after the depositions, now what? You spoke with Representative Eric Swalwell, correct?
Yes, I spoke with Representative Eric Swalwell about this. Now, Eric Swalwell is a part of, and he represents sort of the Pleasanton area of the Bay Area, and he is a part of these depositions. He is also a member on the House Judiciary Committee. And what he told me was that once these depositions are done, it's still to be seen what's going to happen after the depositions are done. Will these three committees that are doing the closed door depositions, will they have an open hearing? Will William Taylor, who testified last week, come back to the Hill? Will Marie Yovanovitch, the former ambassador to Ukraine, will she come back to the Hill for an open hearing or not? That's still to be seen. But what we do know is once these three committees finish their work with these depositions, then the information, whatever they come out public with, transcripts, whatever it is, will then be referred to the House Judiciary Committee, and then the House Judiciary Committee will be tasked with coming up with articles of impeachment. So I asked Eric Swalwell some of the questions around this, including the justification over the depositions being behind closed doors is that you don't want witnesses hearing what each other are saying because then they can conform their testimony to other witnesses. You never do depositions out in the open. But one of the questions I had for him was, okay, that seems fair to me. However, there's a ton of information being leaked from these depositions. So what's the purpose? Seems to kind of fly in the face of that rationale. So I did speak to Eric Swalwell about these things.
Here's that clip.
What can we expect when the depositions are over? What are we going to get to see as a public from this process?
When the depositions are over, we will move to a public phase. And to the extent that we're not revealing classified or sensitive information, you know, there'll be transcripts from the depositions. But again, I think what will be most important...
What will they be redacted?
Only redacted if they're protecting classified information or, you know, sensitive, you know, personal identifying information, but not for any other reason.
Yeah. Do you think we'll have... My understanding is once you're all done with your work, it'll be referred to the House Judiciary Committee that will probably take up articles of impeachment. I imagine most of that will be in public. Do you think we'll have any public hearings from the three committees that are participating with the depositions? And do you think we'll see someone like William Taylor participate in an open hearing?
Well, there will be public hearings, and I, you know, we'll leave it to Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Schiff to determine when those occur, who's a part of them, and, you know, the process for, you know, determining whether we should have articles of impeachment and where that would go. I serve on the Judiciary Committee as well. You know, we've already voted and had a hearing to authorize an impeachment inquiry. So, you know, traditionally that is a committee that would, you know, play a role. And again, I'll just, you know, keep my head down, do my job, ask the questions, show up to the hearings, and, you know, be a part of wherever that process goes.
That was Representative Eric Swalwell covering the 15th District of California, which is Alameda County, a lot of Contra Costa County. Mitch, what lies ahead this week?
Well, again, the test. What lies ahead is who's going to actually show up this week to testify to the three committees that are taking the depositions. You know, now we're getting to members that are on the National Security Team Council. Now we're getting to members that are still with the administration. That's why whatever the judge's decision concerning Kupperman, Charles Kupperman, will be really significant, because the closer we are getting to actually people to Donald Trump, the more difficult it seems it's going to be to force their testimony. Will the Democrats decide to go, you know, to use the courts to try to push this? If they do, that could prolong this entire process, probably by several months Right now, both Democrats and Republicans both together have indicated that they would like to finish a Senate trial, because everyone believes there will be a Senate trial, that they would like to be able to wrap up the Senate trial before the end of the year. So that's just 2 months from now. But if this is dragged out in the courts, then that could, you know, prolong it into the next year. That could prolong it into the primaries, which would get really tricky. So it's unclear whether or not the Democrats would actually try to push this testimony or say they already have enough. They have the transcript from Donald Trump's telephone call with Volodymyr Zelensky, right, for example, where he's saying this is the things he wants. They do have the testimony from someone like William Taylor. A sticking point about William Taylor, as even though William Taylor said there's no question in his mind that this was a quid pro quo, not just for the military aid, not just for the meeting with the White House, it's a quid pro quo for the entire relationship with Ukraine, which is really significant. That said, a lot of that information that William Taylor gave to us is second and third hand accounts of what occurred. And so they're trying to get people who are even closer to Donald Trump to try to find someone who can confirm that Donald Trump, these were from Donald Trump's own orders. And so can they get someone in to do that, or would have the ability to do that? We'll have to see. If so, and if this is going to be a prolonged legal battle, again, this pushes the process into months down the road. The Democrats may decide, forget it, we already have enough, let's just move on. And that's probably a decision we'll see in the next week or two.
Ms. Cesarich, before we let you go, I wanted to return to something you mentioned in passing very early on, which is that Jim Jordan, representative from Utah, has poked his head out of the skiff. Of Ohio had poked his head out and basically said, Gordon Sondland's here to update his testimony. That sounds like a very muted comment from someone who's kind of a well-known bomb thrower. He's often the guy Republicans have make the rounds on the Sunday shows to give a fiery defense of Donald Trump.
Yes, a very good observation there. He was very muted. I asked him about Gordon Sondland, and he just said, yeah, he's in there reviewing transcripts. And another reporter said, well, when Gordon Sondland had testified before, you have said that he basically showed that the president wasn't involved in a quid pro quo. If he is changing his testimony today, does that change your opinion about Gordon Sondland? And he had no comment really to say. He's like, no, he's a credible guy. And basically that was the end of the press availability.
All right. Mitch Cesarich, thank you so much.
Thank you, gang.